projects to go out. And these are really infrastructure projects of the district capital projects. And so we went out to bid and we received a proposal from Signature Public Financing Corporation that we included as a supplemental to this the staff report. And in there, they offered the district, based upon our underwriting analysis, a loan of up to $5.6 million at 4.25% interest rate for a term of up to 15 years. The loan would have a $3,000 bond council fee, and we would have to maintain 1.25 debt coverage ratio. There is the ability to do a prepayment, but there would be a call premium that would be imposed if we're going to pay that early, based upon a schedule that's included in their proposal. If the board chooses to take that option, we were given 6 days in order to sign off on that proposal in order to give them time to prepare the documents. And so we have to notify them within 6 days of the issuance of that. So we're requesting that the board take action tonight. If we choose this option, then what would happen is that they would prepare the loan documents, and then the goal would be to have those available to place on the next board's regular meeting in May, and that the loan would close at the end of May in time for either the acquisition of the property and or to prepare for the dredging work window that we're proposing, which is July 15th to October 15th. There's a second option that for the board's consideration. And as you know, we've been working with the County of Humboldt Brownfield Loan to do a loan assumption. And so the Board of Supervisors, at the recommendation of the planning director, is offering the board a $2,380,000 loan at 0% interest, but that would have a lump sum payment on March 31st, 2024, which is only 10 months to repay that loan. And so with staff's analysis that we've done, is we don't have the ability to repay it alone in 10 months time. And so staff's recommendation is that's not really a feasible alternative based upon the district's financing. We wouldn't be able to make the findings that we have the ability to repay that loan in 10 months. And as a second alternative, I want to just take a step back and really thank the County Economic Development and the county board for really working with us. They've been really working and adamantly trying to help us, the County Economic Development Department. And so they were working with us and said that they would consider doing a Headwaters Fund, but the interest rate would be somewhere between, say, 5% to 7%. And that would be limited to a 10-year term based upon the criteria that we have in our originating legislation. And also what they would be offering. And so based upon the analysis that staff has done, the option one, the Signature Public Financing Corporation, the 4.25% interest with a 15-year term better suits the district financing than either of the County of Humboldt loan options. And so staff is recommending that the board authorize staff to execute the offer to finance this project. And then if you take that action, then we would bring that loan documents back to you in open session for your final approval at your next board meeting. And so I'm available for any questions that the board has. I also want to point out that Cameron Wiest and Andrew Flynn are also on, and they've been advising us on this transaction. So Chris, do you have anything you want to add?
Absolutely right on.
I'd like to make a motion.
I'll second that.
If that motion is to accept the staff's recommendation.
Yes. So motion second. Any comments from the board? Discussion from the board?
I'd just like to say that it's essential that we get this dredging done. We're about 5 years or 6 years overdue. The fishermen are suffering from the income remnants of areas in the marina that are long overdue for dredging. And the other part of it's essential for going forward in probably the biggest project in Humboldt County and that people can remember for the wind energy. So I'm definitely in favor.
Any other comments from the board?
I'll agree with Commissioner Newman and also state, you know, it is a big commitment, but it's, after discussion, I feel satisfied that the district, it's within the district's capacity to take it on. I agree that it's our best option at the time.
Yeah, I agree that the community is counting on us to take this on and move these projects forward. I have just a couple little questions because I'm not a financial wizard. To either Mark Wetzel or perhaps even Cameron Weist, about some of the terms in here. Is this an appropriate time to ask about that?
Absolutely. Mindy, do we have Cameron and Andrew unmuted if we need them?
Can you hear us, Board? Can you hear us?
I understand in under facility type, tax exempt bond or loan, the benefit of a loan, sorry, the benefit of a bond is more security, I'm assuming.
Can you hear us okay, Board, at this point?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay, yeah. Well, yes, good evening. This is Cameron Weist. As legal counsel for this project, to answer that question directly is that really what it boils down to is your financial commitments that you have on your existing debt for the two outstanding loans that you have out there that are, you know, due to mature within a 10-year to 12-year window. So they're going to be maturing. However, they still are outstanding. And those bondholders, which are basically banks that hold it instead of bond holders, but they are banks. So it's called privately placed. Legal covenants dictate how you have to borrow in the future to have debt that's on parity, on equal footing with any other future indebtedness. So that's the first premise that we have to work from. And from there, to answer the bond versus loan, there really is no distinction. It's really however you can get the best terms and conditions within those parity covenants. And so Andrew Flynn, who's on the phone, on the line, is a financial advisor registered with the SEC and MSRB. And through a lot of negotiations back and forth between our office, financial advisor and staff, it was determined to go out to an RFP to the banking market. We went out to at least 20 some odd banks throughout the United States that were known to be aggressive in the municipal field. And so so that is one way to go out for issuing indebtedness. And those are really called obligations. You can call them loan obligations. You can call them financing obligations. You can also kind of generically refer to as bond obligations, because really it's just semantics at that point. But the legal distinction for bonds is typically a debenture that is held by an owner that signifies they have an interest in an indebtedness. In this case, you just have one bondholder in a private placement. That's a bank. If you were to go out to a true bond issuance, i.e. a public offering, you would be going to the public markets worldwide and asking for the world to bid on this through a bond transaction. But that is very expensive. The proposition to go out to a public offering is at least $200,000 to $300,000 minimum, because of all the regulatory things, all the different law firms that have to be involved, different financial advisory firms. So it was determined on the front end that it's that yes, there was head. We didn't know the headwinds were going to be there when we went out for the RFP as far as the banking collapse that happened. But we also knew that given the cost of a bond transaction versus a privately held bank transaction was much better to go out to the RFP. So I hope that's a long-winded answer. Lawyers are notorious for that. I apologize. But if there's any other, if I need to, you know, fix that up a little bit, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, that clarified for me. Thank you. I'm also in the event of default. It says that it's triggered by an event that the district fails to make regularly scheduled installment payments within 10 days of an applicable installment payment date. That seems to be fairly standard language, does that give our accountant or counsel any pause, the 10-day period?
No, we plan for these in advance. We budget these. These are part of the payment schedule. And so what happens when these payments come, then we're coordinating with Mark to make sure that we're transferring money between the accounts to make sure that the funds are available so that we can make our payments. And then as part of this, one of the reasons why we're getting the loan is instead of using cash on hand is to make sure that we have a sufficient amount of reserve funds that's on hand in case we have a slow revenues stream that we can dip into our reserves to make sure that we have the available funds. And that's one of the clauses that's in the account or in this proposal is that as long as we have adequate reserve accounts, even if our debt to income ratio drops below the 1.25, then we can use our reserve funds to make sure that we stay within those covenants. And so it's really important for the district to maintain good reserve funds in order to make sure that we have the cash flow in order to make these loan payments.
Thank you. Thanks for that response. Just the last thing, and this will end my receiving a lesson in economics. Under assignment, the purchaser retains the right to assign all or a portion of its interest in the bonds to another qualified investor given sufficient notification to the issuer. So do I understand that we are the purchaser?
No, the bank is the purchaser. So they're just saying, look, if they want to sell this loan to another bank, it has to be to a sophisticated investor. Those are the rules of this size of a transaction. They can't just sell it to anybody. It has to be what's called a qualified investment buyer. And that's nomenclature within the industry to mean a bank of size or a fund of at least, I think it's $5 million in holdings. So it has to be a good size investor.
So it's not going to be a fly by night.
Correct. Correct.
Be insured through FDIC or some other equivalent.
Yeah, that's a little bit different. You know, that has to do with, reserves and where they're held. This is just a promise to pay. Basically, it's a big transaction that says, hey, look, we're going to go ahead and make this loan to you, and you're going to agree to pay us back. And if you don't, the remedy is for us to come and talk to you. Which is a nice thing about a private placement. If you were to do a public offering, as you asked earlier, a bond transaction, you have a big bank that sits in the middle of it all called a trustee, and the trustee has to exercise all the remedies. So you don't have that flexibility to be able to sit at the bargaining table and to talk about things before they become critical. So I think that's in your favor as well.
It's a big loan, and I appreciate the clarifications.
Sure, sure.
Any other comments from the board? Your questions? For me, I think it's, I mean, we've been talking about this for a long time. We definitely need to do the dredging. We need site control over this site. The loan, we just paid off a loan, which felt really nice. But this will basically slip right back into that same revenue stream or revenue deduction stream expense. So I feel comfortable with where we're at on this. I'll take it to the public. Anybody from the public care to comment? Seeing none, we'll bring it back. I have a motion and a second. And I'll call a question. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please signify by saying nay. Seeing none, motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Is Andrew still on there?
I am. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Okay. Good evening, board. Thank you again. Bye.
All right. Moving on to item 7B, consider authorizing staff to release a request for proposals for 2023 Woodley Island Marina dredging.
Okay. So I wanted to kind of go over a few things with this. I can get this to work here. So first off, I wanted to start off with saying that the Army Corps of Engineers is in the Bay right now. They arrived this afternoon. And so they're going to be here for about 2 weeks with the Aquina, and they're doing the North Bay Channel. I wanted to kind of just outline the couple of priority areas that we identified. This, I know this is kind of hard to see, but this is basically the tip of the North Jetty right here. And this is commonly referred to as the transition zone. This is where it switches from 48 feet deep to 38 feet deep. And these little red areas that are in the navigation channel, that's where shoaling is occurring. And so this transition area is really a critical area because when the bar pilots and the ships go in, you know, you got to make the corner. And, you know, a lot of times you like to go towards the outside, just like you're driving a car or something. You try to go to the outside and make the corner when you're going in, especially when you have a big ship. And so it's important, that transition zone is really important. And then as Aaron, I'm sure, could tell you, and the other fishermen could tell you, this is also right where Rock and Roll Alley is. And in the wintertime, this area is really critical that we keep this deep to reduce some of the shoaling and some of the wave action that might occur in these areas. And so really the priority area is between, this 135, which is the numbers, and all the way up to the 212. And again, this is the Coast Guard station over here. So basically almost all the way up to Fairhaven is the priority. And you can kind of see these red areas there if you had a microscope. And then the second area then they're going to go is to Woodley Island Marina. And the second priority area is really between 52 and 89. And again, you can see this big red area right here in front of Woodley Island that the sediment's been accumulating. And it's something that we've been talking about for a long time, is that what happens is if the Army Corps maintained the navigation channel, then it would help to keep Woodley Island deeper, in particular where the in ties are and towards the outer range, and that it's really critical that the Army Corps maintain this navigation channel because it reduces the impacts and the dredging responsibilities for us. But really, we can say that all day long. The real reason why the Army Corps of Engineers is prioritizing this is because the Coast Guard has the Barracuda here. And it's absolutely critical. That's the number one priority of the Army Corps of Engineers, is to maintain military vessels, and Coast Guard vessels are the highest priority. And so we at the Harbor Safety Committee, we've been continually stressing the need to dredge the Woodley Island and to keep the inner channel open for navigation purposes. I also want to just reach out to say that the Army Corps is going to be using the hoods to take and drop the material. And there may be some boats that have crab pots or other things that are out and around in those areas. I want to advise those fishermen, you know, to start to move their gear out of the way. And then also, as the Army Corps is, the dredge is there for the surfers and other vessels and all of those things, is to make sure we give broad berth to the dredge, because they work in these areas and it's hard to maneuver because they've got arms down at the bottom. It's not easy for these vessels to maneuver. And we just want to really advise, you know, all mariners to pay close attention to the dredge and give them wide berth. Lastly, on this piece, this is something that we, the board really put a big emphasis on, and we had a subcommittee. And I believe Greg and Aaron were on that subcommittee. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
For the bar pilot subcommittee, where we formed that. And we have, and so the issue is we've had two bar pilots for a long time, and that one of the bar pilots is getting ready to retire. And we need to prepare for the offshore wind and the increased traffic and of getting additional trainees. And so we brought on three trainees, and they've been doing ride along on the vessels. But because of the requirements, the number of trips, we requested that the Army Corps of Engineers allow the bar pilot trainees to hop aboard the dredge. And so that as it's going out the channel, then the bar pilots can get the additional experience and get the number of training trips in a greatly advanced time than if we had to wait for chip ships and the cruise ships and the other vessels to come in. And so we want to thank the Army Corps of Engineers for really looking after us. And again, Greg Dale really put the hammer home, and we've been they've been working great with us for, you know, the last 4 or 5 years, just consistently trying to meet what our needs are. We clearly outline what our needs are, and we've been working with them. And it just goes to show these bar pilot trainees of expanding these dredge areas, getting the surveys up here as rapidly as possible, are really critical. So then on the bar and entrance, the Essiance is scheduled to arrive in late May. And that, again, is typically the Essiance, when they do come in, they're only authorized to go to the transition. But we've been asking the Army Corps for the longest time, when the Essiance comes in, to work that transition area up to where the Coast Guard station is, because a lot of times just making sure that that area is up, because when they give their orders or the instructions, then they're limited to the certain stations that they do. And historically, the Essiance has only been able to work to the 48-foot transition zone. And so again, this is the first year that this has been done, is they've authorized the Essiance to work all the way up to station 212 into the inner channel. And again, this is something we requested. And then there's going to be a third dredging event that's going to be, and this is the West Coast Hopper Dredge. And Manson was awarded the West Coast Hopper Dredge. And so the dredge, Terrapin Island, is scheduled to arrive in November. And they're scheduled to take an additional 350,000 cubic yards of material at the very end of the dredging season. Again, this is something that we've been working on of having the Essiance come in May is really critical, because we're in draft restrictions right now. And for them to come as early in the season as possible, is we'd love them to move up even farther into the season so we can extend this work window. And then to come back in November at the end of the work window and really clean us up as good as we can before the winter storms come in. And it really enables us to keep the shoaling down to a minimum. And again, I thank the Army Corps. And you'll notice here, once again, even on the West Coast dredge, they put this in the specifications, that even the Manson is authorized to go up to the 165 beyond the transition zone, around the transition zone, which is, again, these are the same things that we've been requesting over again. And so I wanted to give the board kind of this update before I got into the Woodley Island, because all of this is happening right now. And then lastly, I will just say is that we've been meeting on the second side of the equation, which is how do we do coordinated permit streamlining for all dredging activities. And so we've been meeting with the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers and the Coast Guard and Fish and Wildlife. We had a meeting today, really the third in the series. And what is happening is, in San Francisco, they have DMMOs, dredge material management organizations. And so they're looking at establishing a DMMO for Humboldt Bay. And again, we've already had two of the meetings and formally establishing this so that we can work on longfin smelt issues, beneficial reuse of dredge material, finding alternative disposal locations, all of these things to do regulatory permit streamlining. And then today, Rob and I met with the head of the regulatory division of the Army Corps of Engineers briefly, and was talking about getting additional attention from them and having them be the lead agency on the NEPA for the new terminal project. And then also making them aware of the permitting issues with the Nordic Aquafarms. And so I wanted to bring this issue up, really the Army Corps of Engineers and our relationships that we've had of how do we keep the main channel and the inner channels open so that we can be an effective 12-month port has been a really critical strategy for us. And it really helps in the overall marina. But the main agenda item is really to talk about the Woodley Island marina dredging, since I've gone on to that little diatribe. And so, as we've discussed many times, is that we have, you know, some basic dredging goals, which is really is to do a cost-effective, you know, dredging strategy to remove as much material as practical. But then the second objective is to dredge the least amount of material to allow the fleet to utilize at low tides without any draft restrictions at all. And part of that gets down to is that historically, you know, the marina dredged 14 feet everywhere, even on IDOC. Why were we spending money on IDOC when we have, you know, 3-foot draft boats in some certain places? We should be concentrating on dredging to the depths of the marina when we have low financial resources. And so basically, I wanted to the disposal is going to be at Hoods. We've done all the biological testing. The board approved the testing at your last meeting. We've done the testing. The lab results are due back on May 10th, and that we do not anticipate any contamination issues at all. But we've done a detailed analysis of the sampling, and the samples are broken up into these 3 quadrants. And the reason why this is important is when we get the results back, if there's contamination in one of those coordinates, then we may not be able to go to Hoods for the material in that quadrant, but that would free up the materials where there is no contamination. We're not expecting any contamination at all. As part of the sediment management plan, these were the sampling locations that were approved by the EPA. And those results, again, will be back on approximately May 10th. And so with the permitting, we have all the permits that allow us to dredge up to 300,000 between now and 2028, but the maximum per year is 100,000. The reality is the restriction is the money. How much money do we have? And at the last agenda item, the board approved a loan funds. And so we're anticipating that we will have $3 million available based upon the action that the board just took for dredging. And so then the next question is, well, how much are we going to be able to get for $3 million? The costs have been going up and up and up. As we all know, the last time we dredged, the last couple of times that we dredged, it was about 25 to 25.50 a cubic yard. That was the per unit price. But the fuel prices have skyrocketed in the last couple of years. Dramatically increased. The fishermen, anybody that drives know that the fuel prices have really gone up. And plus the amount of activity that's happened in the construction world, the getting labor and everything, the costs have dramatically gone up. And so what we've done is that we basically broke the marina into these polygons. And so what you'll see is when we survey, we look at each one of these separate polygons, basically the fairway and then what's underneath the slips in each one of these areas. And so we do this and break this up into all of these sub-polygons. And these sub-polygons are, they may look like, why did you do it that way? Well, those are because, number one, do we want to dredge when we're establishing our priority areas? Do we want to dredge just in the fairways? Do we want to dredge under the slips? Which are the areas that are the highest priorities as we're dredging? And so when we look at these numbers, we have spreadsheets and have calculations on, you know, exactly what our estimated material is in each one of those different polygons based upon the transition zones that we have established. And then this is kind of an area which you might think of it as a hot map. And again, the same sort of map, the blue is deep and the red is shallow, but our deeper vessels, most of the deeper vessels are over in this area. There are some other vessels that are spread around. And so the bigger vessels are traditionally on the end ties towards the end of the marina, which again, the Army Corps should be here to help to clean some of this out with the Uquinna sometime in the next couple of weeks. And so as they did before, we're going to make sure that we move the boats from the end ties and get the Army Corps to come in as close as we can to the end ties to try to reduce the amount of material and to get them to take that down to up to 26 feet deep, which is the authorized depth. Again, the authorized depth is 26 feet. And you can see these areas in here are 14 feet. And the Army Corps is supposed to maintain those to 26 feet. And so when we look at these and we start to work and establish these priority areas, you know, at the end of the day, we kind of set up these strategies and we have this schedule. We did the sediment analysis. And if the board authorizes us to release a request for proposals, we'll likely do a 30-day bid period. We're likely not going to make that June 8th board meeting. And so you might have to do a special meeting. And the reason why that is, and I'm going to jump just ahead a little bit, is because we're still coordinating with other partners to try to get other people to come in and bid with us to help reduce mobilization costs and also to help to get more material to hopefully get a low per dollar cubic yard value. And so at this point, it appears like Chevron and the city of Eureka are planning and the Coast Guard is also planning to dredge this year. I've set up a meeting that I have on Monday afternoon with Chevron and the city of Eureka to see if they're interested in going out to bid with us at the same time to help with mobilization and other things. Again, these are all strategies. We had a dredge subcommittee that Pat and Stephen, and now I think Aaron is on it, but I could get that, have been mistaken and given Stephen credit for something. But these strategies that we worked out and we discussed with the committee and the fishermen of really trying to take these into heed of getting the Army Corps of Engineers to dredge, partnering with the city of Eureka and other partners to reduce the mobilization costs, all of these things of how can we get the most bang for our buck are all these important strategies that we need to keep repeating and learning and trying to reduce the cost as much as we possibly can. And so at the end of the day, what staff is looking to do is to develop an RFP that has a base bid that would be around $2.5 million. And the reason why, we're asking you to borrow $3 million, but to establish a base bid at $2.5 million. And part of that has to do with the way the bids are structured and how the payments would come into play. Because when you dredge, you don't know exactly how deep that you're dredging when you're actually got the bucket there and you go in. And so when you do the RFP, what you do is you allow them to do what's called a 1 foot overdraft. And so they're allowed to go 1 foot deeper than what's in the contract, and that you would pay them for up to that 1 foot deeper than is in the contract. But anything deeper than that 1 foot, then you don't pay them for anything that is deeper than that. And so you need to account for that overdraft in your estimations. And then also, we have a good idea of what the bids are going to come in, but we need to have a little bit in contingency just to make sure that if the bids come in a little bit higher than they were. And so what we're planning to do is release a base bid that staff is estimating will come in at about the $2.5 million with the base bid, and then have alternatives in the bid that we could choose to add some additional areas in if the bids come in lower and we have some extra money at the end. So I want to make it clear that I'm not seeing us getting out of this any less than $3 million. That's not really the goal. It just might seem kind of weird. Why are we only doing a strategy of $2.5 million when you have $3 million to go in? And so, within this, there's a couple of and for some reason I must have missed my last little slide here, but that's okay, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it kind of gets down to is the estimations that we have are that if you took the entire marina, this area that's outlined here, that there's approximately 98,000 cubic yards of material that is in this area right now. We estimate that for 2.5 million, we're probably only going to be able to get about 60,000 cubic yards of material. So, the first thing is, you have to reduce the dredge area in order to make that work. And so then the very first thing that we're proposing to do is to say, look, our permits only authorize us to dredge with a clamshell bucket. We can't get underneath the walkways and the gangways anyway. We're not going to be able to get in those. And so when we put together our RFP, we're basically going to say this is the work area, but we're not asking the contractor to remove any material within 1 foot of the walkways and the gangways. So that's kind of is the first thing, and that will reduce about 14,000 cubic yards of material, we estimate. And then we start to get into the hard questions. Well, then where do we go from there? We still have about 20,000 cubic yards of material that we need to look at. And so what I'd like at staff, we've been analyzing this and we've really been looking at this. And what I'd like to do is have the board, really within the next week, is to have us sit down with the dredge subcommittee and sort of finalize the dredge areas that we're going to prioritize here. And I'm just going to throw out a couple of areas sometime, and I'll start with, where do we think that the highest priorities areas are? And then where do we think the lowest priority areas are? And so we think the highest priority area is the area in front of the work dock, because that's used by the most people. It's used by the deepest draft and all the different parameters. And so we think that the area, the fairway where the work dock is, and really from the work dock down to here are where most of the bigger boats are, and that these are most likely the highest priority areas in this area. A lot of our shallower boats are in this area, in particular in the IDOC area. We may not be able to go as deep in some of these areas. And then kind of the third thing is that really right up against the rocks in these areas, there's already so much shoaling that's in those areas that there really aren't any deeper vessels in these very first, except with the exception of D-Dock, I would say, in these. And so we're going to have to strategically look at some of these areas. And then even, if we get down to the micro level in some of the slips, you might notice that we have some barges where we have kayak rental, and we have, Sebastian has an oyster barge. Are we really going to dredge, 13 feet under a barge that doesn't move and has a draft of maybe 3 feet in these areas? And so anyway, we're going to have to strategically eliminate some areas to get us down to about 60,000 cubic yards of material for the 2.5 million base bid. And so that's my long and drawn out way of saying we're not going to be able to do everything, but I think we're going to be able to at a minimum hit all the fairways and probably a good portion of the slips. But there's going to be some areas of the marina that we won't be able to hit. So I'm available for any questions if you have any. Otherwise, I'll turn it over to the board.
Motion and second. We have a motion and second.
Absolute. Second.
So a motion and second. Any discussion from the board?
I just like to say that we're way overdue for this, and it just appears as though if we apply common sense to our limitations and make sure we dredge the areas where the deeper draft vessels are deeper than the areas where the shallower draft vessels are, we can make this work and make this a working marina. Because right now at low tide, it's really not a working marina. So let's get this done.
I'm glad we're going to see the formation of a committee to deal with issues related to the bay that involve some new people and the agencies, so that they can bring some examples from other places where they're not in gridlock. We're still doing a clamshell and we're still going to the hoods. And what year is this? Is climate change an issue? Did we learn that you can redistribute sediment to the benefit of coping with climate change? And the clamshell basically muddies up the water. It is the worst thing for the benthic environment, and the suspended sediment is the highest. And so we need to get off of this. I hope this is the last time we do this, but I know I said that the last two times we did this. This is antiquated. It's not rational, and we need to be able to use, the suction dredge or another device that we could operate at far less cost with less mobilization. And this is the law of diminishing returns. I mean, now we're getting less and less sediment when we use the same thing that we're permitted for every time because of the fuel costs. And so I'm for this. We need to do this. But it's still highly unsatisfactory to me. And the impediments to implementation of public policy that best serves in this regard, and us not being able to do that for all of these years is still, I still don't understand. And I hope that, I was hoping maybe that our new commissioner, Mr. Benson, could help us get out of long fin smelt gridlock, but I'm not sure that that anyone can.
I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver anything.
And they're not good on the pizza.
But I will work on it. Aaron and I on the dredging committee, yeah.
Any other comments or discussion? All right, I'm going to take it to the audience. Anybody from the audience care to comment on this item?
Howdy, guys. My name is Cody Freitas with the Operating Engineers, delegate to the Humboldt County and Del Norte Building Trades Council. I'm happy to see the dredging going on and we're moving forward with it. And like Larry was speaking to, keeping that unit price down per cubic yard is very, any awarding body wants to get any project done for a minimal cost. And with previous experiences with other dredging operations out here, I know this board is very aware of the eyes on our harbor and on our county right now. And that level of professionalism and potentially qualified bidders and looking at experience of the contractors looking to do the work should be heavily favored upon. Because another way of lowering that unit cost is efficiency and experience that will be able to expedite the procedure. And I just, good work. That's all I got to say, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Any other comments? Anyone?
I think you guys all know me, but I'm Jake McMaster at the Captain Banjo at the end of the harbor, right?
There.
You know, I'll just echo what Aaron said. This is far past needed. I have to get down here at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning to use the work dock because after about 8:30, I'm not going to get over there. So this is vastly needed. And I liked what Larry said about prioritizing the harbor where it's needed. You know, I hate to sound unsympathetic to the other end of the harbor, but guy who needs it for his business should be, you know, prioritized. So that's all. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other comments from the audience? Bring it back to the board for a vote.
Any prospect that the other interests that need to be served could give us up with the Chevron and the Coast Guard, I think, both dredging. Is it possible that we save on mobilization costs or something like that?
Yeah, we're really counting the numbers that we're doing. We're really in the last time we dredged, the mobilization costs were between $600,000 to $900,000. And so we're really anticipating that is the same this time. And so if we can get three parties to get together, we can split, and the mobilization will probably be in around the 900 range. We can get our share down to about 300,000, which greatly, what that does is that just means more cubic yards of material that we can remove.
That's good news that everybody can shoot for that.
And the issue on the mobilization cost is because with the using the clamshell, and then going to hoods, what you have to do is you have to bring in what's called a belly dump barge. So they put the dredge material in the barge. And then when they go out to hood, the bottom of the barge opens up and it drops that out. And there's only so many of those on the West Coast. And people are dredging at the same time. And so it's in really high demand, those belly dump barge, all in that same work window. And so that is one of the reasons why it adds so much cost. Because we, to echo kind of what Pat is saying, because we're restricted to the clamshell, these extra mobilization costs.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please signify by saying nay. Motion passes unanimously. So moving on to our next item is item 8, adjournment. Anything else for the good of the order? I am adjourning this meeting.